Andrew Lam, Chris Lee, Ananda Devi. Welcome to Worldviews.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Andrew, let me start with you. Your background is Vietnamese. You're Vietnamese-American, and you've written essays about Vietnamese identity in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about how one can really reflect their culture and identity through the written word.
It's from reading. I grew up confused mostly because I spoke English better than Vietnamese. And yet when I go home, it is a refugee Vietnamese language culture. And when I'm in school, it is an American culture. In my household, my name is Yung. In school, my name is Andrew. I go as if from one country to another within the same day. And I had always found that really strange. Yet only my Andrew persona seems to be the only one survive in the English in the daytime. And writing and reading was a way to begin to understand how I can marry this two night and day kind of dichotomy. And I found that, in fact, it was language. It was from reading other people's experiences that you can begin to bridge, what you didn't think was bridgeable, because I had a hard time explaining, just talking to my friends at school, what I was like at home or my culture back in Vietnam. But when you started writing and reading other texts that had that similar experiences, you begin to realize it's possible through the use of the written language to express oneself and to somehow make the two polar world somehow bridge and connect.
So, Andrew, that's very interesting. Chris, you are of South Korean descent. So how does what Andrew is talking about in terms of his confusion and living these two different lives at one time and how literature helped him kind of bridge that gap, does that resonate with you at all in your experience?
Certainly. The story is very familiar, and the way I experienced my childhood in America as well. Growing up in a very conservative Christian Korean family where my mother didn't speak any English at all. But I was one of a returning group of people who's gone back to their homeland, and I live in South Korea now and have spent more than half my life out of America at this point. And I found that returning comes with, creates a different kind of story in the sense that the confusion is really no longer there, because both of them are, both these countries and both these worlds are mine, and yet they aren't. And, you end up solidly somewhere in between the two. But I kind of embrace that in between. I think even the title of my book, I wasn't really thinking about that as who I was, but Drifting House, which is the title, was very much a place, I think, where we all inhabit, not just people of different cultures, but people who don't feel as if they belong to their society, or somehow feel as if their family perhaps is theirs and yet not theirs. I think we all have the experience of some kind of estrangement, and culture and race is one way to look at it, but there's so many other ways that we experience this phenomenon. So, I think of myself as a kind of drifting house, and home is wherever you happen to be at that moment, and you make it yours.
Very interesting. Ananda, I would like to bring you in on this discussion, although you're from Mauritius, right?
Yes.
But you write in two different languages, French and English. You've won many awards. You've written fiction, but you also engage in socio-anthropological studies. I mean, what you're hearing here from Chris and Andrew, how does this reflect what you experience and what you've studied in terms of the sociological, anthropological issues of identity and culture and how that transcends borders and is expressed through literature, but also, as somebody who is growing up and coming from kind of a multicultural background and working in different languages, all the three of you, working in different languages. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I absolutely agree that coming from this multicultural background, at the same time, it opens up your ideas, your thoughts, your way of looking at the world, and at the same time makes identity and language a core component of who you are, and a core questioning, because all your life you are constantly questioning yourself about where your place is, if you have a place in society. And for example, today I find it very difficult to say what my mother tongue is, because the language that my mother used to speak to me when I was from birth onwards is a South Indian language, My great-grandparents emigrated from India to Mauritius. But as I was growing up in a multilingual society, I went to school and I had a completely westernized education. So French and English were the two main languages that I learned. So from the age of 5 onwards, I was only speaking French at home. So my parents started speaking French to me as well, in a kind of sort of for integration purposes. But then I lost Telugu. So in a way, I have Creole, which is the lingua franca of Mauritius, but it's part of the story. I have French. I can't say it's my mother tongue, but it's the tongue of my heart because it's the language in which I write. I write very, very little in English. It's mostly the 15 books I've written are in French. And I have this emptiness where Telugu is, and my mother has since passed away, so in a way there will always be that void of where it is. So writing in a way fills it because you're constantly questioning yourself but also peopling yourself with others. You're filling that void, and I felt that finally literature has become my mother tongue, let's say. But at the same time, I've always felt that literature has books have two components. One is the form, the language, style, and one is the substance. And what I write about is very much fed by my social anthropological studies, coming from Mauritius, which is in the Indian Ocean and east of Africa, Madagascar. So I was growing up at the time of independence, the fight for independence. So all this history, this very torn apart history of the ancient history of slavery, of indentureship, plus the fight for independence and colonialism do feed into my work. So the two of them come together through those two components.
It's fascinating to hear what all of you are saying about, as Ananda was talking about, a void, or Chris was talking about an in-between, mm-hmm. Living kind of between cultures or being comfortable with that in-between world, and Andrew referring to kind of some confusion and just being in one place and then another and kind of going back and forth. These kind of multiple identities that all of you have developed as being, multicultural and working in different languages and living in different places. But I'd like to relate that to this notion of literature and translation. I mean, those of us, of course, who largely read one language, which many U.S. citizens do, that we derive a tremendous benefit from being able to read the works that you're referring to in translation, the works that were produced first in Vietnamese or Korean or French, and then presented to us in translation, and vice versa, those who were written by American authors or those English-speaking authors that then are translated into other languages. But is there something that can get lost in that translation in terms of these identities that you're talking about and the social and cultural messages that are really important and come across in native languages that it's difficult to translate those and fully comprehend them? Or, is there just so far that we can go, but at least we get that far?
Well, I'm translating a book right now, and I've for Houghton Mifflin, and I've translated a lot of poetry as well. And when I see the world of translators around me in Korea, I think what does have more risk of getting lost, in some ways, you're going to lose something inevitably. But it's less often the sociological context or the world of the novel or the poem than it is the voice of the novel and the poem. And that has a lot to do with, just is the translator a person who understands the sensitivity of the language, both languages, in Korean and in English, or in Farsi and in English? And that seems to be more important in some ways. There are some things that, if it seems as if the world is less accessible or harder for a reader outside of that culture to contextualize, I think within the world, at least, it's usually implied, and occasionally they're going to be using footnotes. But it's often actually the voice, particularly some books that are very difficult to translate with regional accents or a history that is almost inaccessible in some ways because it assumes greater knowledge. Those works are often not translated or have very difficult timing translated. And that's the real pity, that that the attempts aren't made because it's so difficult.
Does that sound like something you would,
sure,
would identify,
I mean,
with, Andrew, because of your talking about confusion? I mean, how do you translate that feeling of confusion?
It's,
and where
it's
do
very
I belong?
Hard to translate unless you have lived in both places, and because the cultural references will be missed. On the other hand, I watched movies that are dubbed, and having understood both languages, I get really frustrated when the translation is so bad that you feel like it's completely misunderstood. But there's a side story to all this, is that very few books actually get translated. And there's a ton of beautiful, wonderful materials that don't get read in the United States simply because they are deemed not commercial or saleable enough. And that's the real pity, is that we think that we are reading the world, but we are reading very little of the world. And I think that's the sad part of it. And being cosmopolitan, being someone who's multilingual, I feel so enriched and blessed to be able to read in other languages in which I can immerse in the full aspect of that culture, you know. And I think there are really things that are lost in translations.
Yeah, that's, I think, what's the bottom line, is what's really critical is being able to really immerse yourself fully into that other culture and another language, like you've, yeah, been able to do, Ananda.
Yes, and I must say that translators who've translated my work or who I've worked with are usually people who are passionate about that work. So they will try everything to bring together both this content and the voice. And I think they do a fantastic work because they really put themselves into it. And poetry is the most difficult thing to translate. But very often poets translate poets, but even those who translate novels are very, very passionate about it. So it is a pity that there's not more work in translation being published in the States, because it's the next best thing from reading it, in the original language, is to read it in a translation, because even if something is lost, you're gaining much more. So, but unfortunately in America, it's as Andrew was saying, there's very, very little work in translation that's published and read, whereas in Europe it's the opposite, actually. There's a very, very large corpus of work in translation. So I think fiction brings a worldview that is, at the same time, it's a built-in and imaginary worldview, but there's a sort of a core of truth in it that you can't get through news items, 5-minute news items every day on the news. You see, the way to go into a place, go to the heart of the place, to me, is really through literature.
Well, all of you have inspired me so much. I'm ready to go pick up a book here now that we're done. Well, Ananda, Chris, and Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on Worldviews.
Thank you.